Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 7. We're going to be reading through the first part, the first 11 verses of chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 7, this is God's word. Solomon completed his entire palace complex after 13 years of construction. He built the House of the Forest of Lebanon. It was 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, on four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams on top of the pillars. It was paneled above with cedar at the top of the chambers that rested on 45 pillars, 15 per row. There were three rows of window frames facing each other in three tiers. All the doors and doorposts had rectangular frames, the openings facing each other in three tiers. He made the hall of pillars 75 feet long and 45 feet wide. The portico was in front of the pillars, and a canopy with pillars was in front of them. He made the hall of the throne where he would judge, the hall of judgment. It was paneled with cedar from the floor to the rafters. Solomon's own palace, where he would live, in the other courtyard behind the hall, was of similar construction. And he made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, his wife. All of these buildings were of costly stones, cut to size and sawed with saws on the inner and outer surfaces, from the foundation to coping, and from the outside to the great courtyard. The foundation was made of large, costly stones, 12 and 15 feet long. Above were also costly stones, cut to size, as well as cedar wood. Around the great courtyard, as well as the inner courtyard of the Lord's temple and the portico of the temple, were three rows of dressed stone and a row of trimmed cedar beams. King Solomon had Hiram brought from Tyre. He was a widow's son from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze craftsman. Hiram had great skill, understanding, and knowledge to do every kind of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and carried out all his work. He cast two bronze pillars, each 27 feet high and 18 feet in circumference. He also made two capitals of cast bronze to set on top of the pillars. 7.5 feet was the height of the first capital, and 7.5 feet was also the height of the second capital. The capitals on top of the pillars had gratings of latticework wreaths made of chain work, 7 for the first capital and 7 for the second. He made the pillars with two encircling rows of pomegranates on the one grating to cover the capital on top. He did the same for the second capital. And the capitals on top of the pillars in the portico were shaped like lilies, 6 feet high. The capitals on the two pillars were also immediately above the rounded surface next to the grating, and 200 pomegranates were in rows encircling each capital. He set up the pillars at the portico of the sanctuary. He set up the right pillar and named it Jachin. Then he set up the left pillar and named it Boaz. The tops of the pillars were shaped like lilies. Then the work of the pillars was completed. He made the cast metal basin 15 feet from brim to brim, perfectly round. It was 7.5 feet high and 45 feet in circumference. Ornamental gourds encircled it below the brim, 10 every half yard, completely encircling the basin. The gourds were cast in two rows when the basin was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, three facing north, three facing west, three facing south, and three facing east. The basin was on top of them, and all their hindquarters were toward the center. The basin was 3 inches thick, and its rim was fashioned like the brim of a cup or of a lily blossom. It held 11,000 gallons. Then he made 10 bronze water carts. Each water cart was 6 feet long, 6 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high. This was the design of the carts. They had frames. The frames were between the cross pieces, and on the frames between the cross pieces were lions, oxen, and cherubim. On the cross pieces, there was a pedestal above, and below the lions and oxen were wreaths of hanging work. Each cart had 4 bronze wheels with bronze axles. Underneath the 4 corners of the basin were cast supports, each next to a wreath. And the water cart's opening inside the crown on top was 18 inches wide. The opening was round, made as a pedestal 27 inches wide. On it were carvings, but their frames were square, not round. There were 4 wheels under the frames, and the wheel axles were part of the water cart. Each wheel was 27 inches tall. The wheel's design was similar to that of the chariot wheels. Their axles, rims, spokes, and hubs were all of cast metal. 4 supports were at the 4 corners of each water cart. Each support was one piece with the water cart. And at the top of the cart was a band 9 inches high encircling it. Also at the top of the cart, its braces and its frames were one piece with it. He engraved cherubim, lions, and palm trees on the plates of its braces and on its frames, wherever each had space, with encircling wreaths. In this way, he made the 10 water carts using the same casting, dimensions, and shape for all of them. Then he made 10 bronze basins. Each basin held 220 gallons, and each was 6 feet wide, one basin for each of the 10 water carts. He set 5 water carts on the right side of the temple and 5 on the left side. He put the basin near the right side of the temple toward the southeast. Then Hiram made the basins, the shovels, and the sprinkling basins. So Hiram finished all the work that he was doing for King Solomon on the Lord's temple. 2 pillars, bowls for the capitals that were on top of the 2 pillars, the 2 gratings for the covering both bowls of the capitals that were on top of the pillars, the 400 pomegranates for the 2 gratings, 2 rows of pomegranates for each grating covering both capitals' bowls on top of the pillars, the 10 water carts, the 10 basins on the water carts, the basin, the 12 oxen underneath the basin, and the pots, shovels, and sprinkling basins. All the utensils that Hiram made for King Solomon at the Lord's temple were made of burnished bronze. The king had them cast in clay molds in the Jordan Valley between Succoth and Zarethan. Solomon left all the utensils unweighed because there were so many. The weight of the bronze was not determined. Solomon also made all the equipment in the Lord's temple, the gold altar, the gold table that was the bread of the presence was placed on, the pure gold lampstands in front of the inner sanctuary, 5 on the right and 5 on the left, the gold flowers, lamps, and tongs, the pure gold ceremonial bowls, wick trimmers, sprinkling basins, and fire pans, and the gold hinges for the doors of the inner temple, that is the most holy place, and for the doors of the temple sanctuary. So all the work King Solomon did in the Lord's temple was completed. Then Solomon brought in the consecrated things of his father David, the silver, the gold, and the utensils, and put them in the treasuries of the Lord's temple. At that time, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the tribal heads and the ancestral leaders of the Israelites before him at Jerusalem, in order to bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from the city of David, that is Zion. So all the men of Israel were assembled in the presence of King Solomon in the month of Ethanim, which is the 7th month at the festival. All the elders of Israel came, and the priests picked up the ark. The priests and the Levites brought the Ark of the Lord, the tent of meeting, and the holy utensils that were in the tent. King Solomon and the entire congregation of Israel who had gathered around him and were with him in front of the ark were sacrificing sheep, goats, and cattle that could not be counted or numbered because there were so many. The priests brought the Ark of the Lord's covenant to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, beneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim were spreading their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim covered the ark and its poles from above. The poles were so long that their ends were seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they were not seen from outside the sanctuary. They are still there today. Nothing was in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had put there at Horeb, where the Lord had made a covenant with the Israelites when they came out of the land of Egypt. When the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the Lord's temple. And because of the cloud, the priests were not able to continue ministering, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me.
When God traveled with his people through the wilderness for a generation, he gave instructions as to what kind of architecture. The tent that he would dwell in was to have. He gave very explicit, detailed instruction about the things that would be used in worship and how they would be used and how they were to be cleansed and set apart and how the people who came in contact with them were to be cleansed and set apart. It was very, very detailed. And one of the things that did for the people was to give them some sense, which they generally had and which sadly we generally lack, as to the holiness of God. When I hear people talk about the man upstairs and that sort of thing from time to time, I just think, you don't know him, do you? God is holy, holy, holy. And those who have seen God, not even in all of his fullness, but those who've had an encounter with him, where just some of his glory is manifested, have been prone to fall to the ground and cry out for mercy. Isaiah saw the Lord, and he said, "Woe is me, I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." When you begin to recognize the holiness of God, you are gripped with the reality of your own sinfulness. John, the beloved disciple who had spent time as Jesus' close friend, who leaned back against Jesus at the meal when Jesus was about to be betrayed and crucified. John, who knew him so well, the disciple whom Jesus loved. When John encounters Jesus in the book of Revelation, he falls on the ground terrified. Because God has so graciously accommodated himself to our weakness, you and I tend to be clueless about what we're dealing with. the purpose of all of this meticulous design and detail was to call to mind the fact that God is holy. And there was a curtain that hung between the holiest of holies and the holy place, and that curtain was one that nobody got to go behind except the high priest. And the high priest was only allowed to go behind that curtain once per year. And when he went back there, he went with blood to put there on the Ark of the Covenant as a picture of the fact that you and I cannot come into the presence of a holy God apart from the blood sacrifice that would one day be provided by God. That's why we read in the New Testament that when Jesus hung and died on that cross, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, because God had opened the way into his presence. God invites us to come. But it's only possible to come into the presence of a holy God because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. If you lose the wonder of that, if you fail to be amazed by that, then you are not drawing near. So, all these details are laid out for us. And it's interesting to me that the person God used, the person that Solomon brought down from another country, he had Hiram brought from Tyre, not somebody who lived right there in the area. And Hiram was a widow's son. His father had been a worker in bronze. He had learned from his dad. But then he lost his dad. And undoubtedly, if you were Hiram, or if you were Hiram's mom, you would feel as if God was not kind. He lost his dad. She lost her husband. And yet God had a very special plan for this young man's life. And God used him to be the one to accomplish all of this amazing craftsmanship. The size of the basin. It was 15 feet from brim to brim, perfectly round, 7.5 feet high, 45 feet in circumference. Ornamental gourds encircled it below the brim, 10 every half yard, completely encircling the basin. Gourds were cast in two rows when the basin was cast. And verse 26, the basin was 3 inches thick. Now think about a piece of metal that's 3 inches thick, the whole thing, and it is 45 feet in circumference. That's a big, big basin. It held 11,000 gallons. That's like a swimming pool. All these things that were made by Hiram in accordance with the vision that God had given. Does it really matter? Does worship really matter? This was done because God is worthy. But where are these things today? The stuff that we do for him, however exceptional, is not something that will necessarily be seen or remembered in future generations. But obedience is never in vain. If you're doing what God has said for you to do, God sees, God knows, and God will honor it in eternity. You have Jesus' word on that. We can't go and dig up these particular pieces. The good stuff all got carted off to Babylon. Some stuff was then, 70 years later, returned to Jerusalem. But then, in the subsequent generations, there was destruction. And after a huge, new temple was built that was there in Jesus' day, Jesus and his disciples went up to worship at the temple. And the country boys from Galilee were really impressed by what they saw. And they said to Jesus, "Look, Master, do you see all this?" And Jesus responded, "Look, do you see all this? Not one stone is going to be left standing on another. All this is coming down. Judgment is coming. That which we do, apart from obedience, means nothing." I said a moment ago, worship that is offered in obedience will be rewarded in eternity. But please understand that disobedience will also be dealt with. We have God's promise on that as well. And so, when all of this was complete, they brought the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle where it had been in the city of David. They brought it now to the new temple that had been built, carrying it with the poles. They had learned their lesson. And they brought it in and they set it in place. And when they did, God's presence was manifested there. And his presence was so strong that the priests couldn't minister. They couldn't just keep doing what they were doing. Everybody had to leave. It was overwhelming. In my life, I've never seen that kind of visible manifestation of God's presence. But there have been a few occasions in my life when the presence of God was so tangibly powerful that I literally thought I was going to die. And I wasn't upset. Seek the Lord. Draw near to him. Pursue him. Don't run from him. Adam and Eve tried to hide. They were ashamed of their nakedness because they had sinned. And so they literally made coverings for themselves of leaves and crouched down in the foliage, hoping to avoid God's gaze. If you have stuff in your life that isn't as it should be, you are likely to find yourself wanting to go the other way, not to get too close to God, not to be in his presence. It makes you want to keep a little distance. That's not the solution. The solution is to confess your sins, ask for his cleansing, and draw near to him. His presence here in the temple was so strong that they couldn't minister. But they didn't all go home. They drew back. The priests stopped what they were doing. And Solomon began to pray. God willing, next time we'll look at Solomon's prayer. I want you to see between now and then in your own life that if you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Don't run from him. Run to him. He loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent Jesus to pay the debt you owe so that you could draw near.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web
at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.